Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Intuit Credit Karma.
Yeah. Did the Lakers' takedown of the top-ranked Thunder send a message in the West? Why LeBron, AD, and co. could be even more threatening than you might think? And what do the injury-riddled Knicks need to do in this crucial final stretch? An inside look at how New York can best position themselves in the playoffs. Plus, the Bucks unlocked the defense, and they also unlocked Dame Lillard. Check your watches. Is Dame time here to stay in Milwaukee next on NBA Today? Welcome to NBA Today. I'm your girl, Chinee Ogwumike, filling in for the amazing Malika Andrews. And I'm joined by a spectacular pair of NBA senior writers, Ramona Shelburne and Zach Lowe, and a man who spent over two decades in NBA front offices, Scott Perry. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Tim Legler will also join us in a little bit. But y'all, we are in the final stretch of the regular season, and there are so many questions that still need to be answered, but none more interesting than what happens in the West. Because y'all, the West is wild. And Ramona, it is March. And for the Lakers, every game matters this month. So let's highlight all of their successes so far as of late. Lakers versus the Thunder early in the second quarter. Watch this. I mean, what? Off of a Thunder miss, LeBron James, what does he do, Ramona?
Gets out in transition. Gets downhill.
And I thought he set the tone physically right with that play right there.
I don't know how many people would want to get in front of all of that. Now, off of another Thunder miss, D'Angelo Russell, he finds who? A big streaking through the middle of the lane, one Anthony Davis. The Lakers are clearly capitalizing.
Who's the younger team? Getting out in transition, getting up and down the court.
Fresh legs after All-Star. Now 20 seconds left in the half. Lakers up 49-43. SGA, he loses the ball, and then watch this beautiful give and go right here.
D'Angelo with that touch pass. He's got the touch shot now. They've really got a rhythm going between him.
They do, but the Thunder did not. The Thunder shot 30.6% from the field in the first half, tied for their worst half this season. Now heading to the third quarter. I mean, the shots were going down. Reeves from the corner, he misses this, but no one can stop AD in the paint.
I mean, there's one on four. He gets the rebound and the putback.
That's big boy basketball.
Big boy, grown man basketball. Speaking of that right there, almost a touchdown pass. He's able to handle it and throw it down there. Lakers out-rebounded the Thunder 55-38. But this is my favorite part of the game, right? D'Angelo Russell right there knocks down 1-3. This is the fourth quarter. And then... was it DJ Khaled? Another one. But my favorite play, D'Lo has three threes in 66 seconds. LeBron's like, take the ball here, cook. This is an ultimate heat check.
I mean, that is a good contest right there from J-Dub, too.
And I think that's what the young guys call being in your bag.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
In his Birkin, the Lakers win 116-104. D'Lo with 26. LeBron,
exactly.
Exactly. Right.
Exactly.
AD, 24. Lakers are now 3-1 against the Thunder this season. Here's AD right after the game.
You know, in the event we don't get top six, you know, you got to go through the whole play-in kind of process again. You know, we don't really care what, you know, seed we in. We've proven that last year. It doesn't matter. I think this goes on with anyone. You know, you just try to get in, and then, you know, playoffs is a different animal. So, you know, we don't look at it as, you know, we'd rather have this matchup than this matchup. You know, for us, it's just about getting in and tackling each opponent from there.
Some hard-fought wins by the Lake squad. The Lakers have the eighth toughest remaining strength of schedule by opponent win percentage, including a pair of games left against the Timberwolves and Bucks. Now, the Lakers, they have 19 games left in the regular season. They've won 7 of 10 as of late, but they still sit right 9th in the West. So LA hasn't moved up in the standings since late December. So Zach, do you think that the Lakers are primed right now for a playoff push?
Primed for what?
A playoff push.
Can we table the whole Lakers playoff run thing until they're at least 8th? Can we table it until they're in the top half of the play-in bracket? Because right now they're in the loser's bracket of the play-in tournament, which means they have to win two games just to get into the playoffs and know who their matchup is. Their point differential for the season is minus 21. Minus. They have been outscored for the season. Yes, they're playing better. They are finally starting the right lineup. That is a step in the right direction. They're tough. They're physical. Anthony Davis is playing as well this season as he has in almost any point in his career. In any one game, they can beat anybody. The playoffs are not about one game. They're about four wins in seven games. And right now, before we talk about all these highfalutin discussions about how far the Lakers can get, are they ready for a playoff push? Can we just get to eighth, please? Eighth. And then we can have a better discussion.
Okay, director of grouchiness. I see that in your title. I mean, look,
it's not grouchiness. It's director of reality. This is reality. The Lakers are ninth.
Look, I was at the game last night when D'Lo hit those three threes. There was no reality other than he was having a heat check, and it felt like those same good vibes that they got going. Then in the stretch run last year, we're coming back in the building. Now, it was lost on nobody that the Thunder was playing on the second night of a back-to-back. They didn't have their legs. But it also is lost on nobody that this would be a very difficult first-round matchup and could be the first-round matchup if the Lakers do get to eighth, if the Thunder win the West. That's your 1-8 matchup. And the Lakers are a tough out because of their size, because of their star power, and especially when they get things rolling defensively. I think what struck me most about this game was the Lakers look like the younger, fresher team. And yes, again, the Thunder, second night of a back-to-back, but the Lakers shut down the Thunder's transition offense. The Lakers were the ones getting out and running. The Lakers were the ones getting their defense set, and it changed the whole dynamic of the game when the Thunder was not able to put their style of play on the much older and more veteran team.
Look, to me, the Lakers just have to focus on being consistent right now. I know you talked about them playing the Thunder on back-to-back last night, but the Thunder have been the best in the league in playing back-to-backs, and they're a young team. The Lakers imposed their will. They played physical against them. The Lakers can match up with any team in the Western Conference not named the Denver Nuggets. And so right, because they're 0-8 against the Nuggets. And in their last eight tries, that is the team they probably need to avoid early on in the playoffs. But I think if they continue to get consistent play out of D'Angelo Russell, which is key, he's had a big time February. And I think, you know, we know what we're going to get out of LeBron and AD, how they played this year. You get Jared Vanderbilt back from a defensive perspective. I still see this as a very dangerous team. I don't care that they're sitting in ninth spot right now. When it's all said and done, I agree with Anthony Davis. They just need to get in. Once they get in, they're going to figure a way to be one of those eight teams playing in the playoffs.
And they found consistent success, especially with the starting lineup of AD, Hachimura, James, Russell, and Reeves. But really, honestly, this Lakers and Thunders matchup could very well be how the first round of the playoffs shaked out. So let's welcome in the best in the business, Tim Legler. Tim, what did you see out there last night?
Well, Sinead, last night Anthony Davis took advantage of, I think, the one thing we can question about the Oklahoma City Thunder, that size on the front line. And when he's playing with this level of determination, he's a problem, not just for the Thunder, but really for the entire Western Conference. Take a look at some of the examples of how exactly he took advantage of that. And here you go, up the floor. And I like this one because Anthony Davis is coming up the floor, and I think he's thinking about going over and setting a ball screen. But as you can see, his eyes are up right now, and this is what he's looking at right here. This is his defender, Mike Muscala, and he's looking at him, and he sees how high he is on the floor. And more importantly, he sees these two defenders that are high, backpedaling, but not in a dead sprint, which means there's a lot of room back here behind that last defender. So I want you to watch Anthony Davis sprint right past Muscala. Right there. He takes off, and now that ball is just going to be thrown up in the air. And with Anthony Davis, you can throw it pretty much anywhere. It's exactly what happens here. The catch, the dunk, great read on his part to see there was not enough backline defense on that. And this one, the Lakers want to run this action right here where you're going to get a double screen for LeBron James. Anthony Davis setting the second one. They love this pet action. LeBron will take this all the way over to the right wing, see what they can get out of it. But Anthony Davis observes something. He sees that the defender right here, Chet Holmgren, his weight and body is in this direction. So now Anthony Davis, as he comes in to set this screen, he's just going to slip it. So now as LeBron James comes over here, there's going to be a gap in a pocket to make this pass.
along the baseline for Anthony Davis to catch, receive, and finish. There aren't a lot of guys, Sinead, that are going to catch this basketball in traffic, on the move, and still get up something on balance at the rim. Anthony Davis is elite in that regard, and that's exactly what he does. So he took advantage of certain situations in this game. And by the way, this is no longer as AD goes, the Lakers go, because AD has been going every night. We're not seeing some of the inconsistency we saw in the postseason a year ago. That is a great sign for the Lakers going forward, Sinead.
Thanks, Tim. Don't go too far. And you are absolutely correct. AD continued to dominate OKC, now averaging 27 points and 13 rebounds per game against the Thunder this season while leading the Lakers to a 3-1 series victory. You can see all of those big numbers that he put up against OKC right there. Now, let's talk about the Thunder side of things because, Zach, we all sat here at the trade deadline almost a month ago and said that if the Thunder were truly trying to make a postseason push, they needed some depth in the front court. Now, they did pick up Gordon Hayward. They did pick up a Bismack Biyombo, but in the paint, AD exposed them last night. How vulnerable are the Thunder in a playoff series?
It's going to depend on the matchups, but yeah, it's a disappointment that seven games in, Gordon Hayward has provided essentially nothing for the Thunder. They're going to need something from him. They're going to need him to play more, to score more, maybe even to close some games for them. But sure, the Thunder are vulnerable to the wrong matchup. They're vulnerable to teams with size, but other teams are vulnerable to what they do and what they do well, which is space the floor around the best off-the-dribble creator, maybe the entire NBA, in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Alexander with shooting all around him. They're going to be a problem in the playoffs. Like any Western Conference team outside of probably the Nuggets, they could lose in the first round or make the conference finals. But I'm not going to read in too much to a loss at a desperate Lakers team on a back-to-back and say they're suddenly vulnerable to this matchup or that matchup. Let's see the matchups happen first. As we're going to project this series to happen in the first round, OKC Lakers. Let's see the Lakers get out of the play-in before we start assuming they're going to upset teams in the first round.
I mean, look, they gave up 31 rebounds to Yusuf Nurkic on the first front end of that back-to-back. Then they have AD. I can go through the Western Conference and say teams that have size that would be an issue for the Thunder. But this was their choice. And if you ask their decision makers, why didn't you go get somebody to just be a big? Go in there, somebody to counter Jokic. Go in there to get counter Nurkic or AD. Their answer is, well, that clogs up the space. Because so much of the way the Thunder play are five out, everybody, and there's space for Shai, there's space for J-Dub, there's space for everybody to drive into the lane. If you get a big who is going to be in that lane, then they're not able to play the way they want to. And I think, look, that first round, that matchup, let's say it's the Lakers, let's say it's Phoenix, you're right, Zach, it does depend on the matchup. If they go an early out, maybe they have to readjust their thinking in terms of next year and how they approach things, because you know, their idea is this is how we play. If we impose our will on our opponent, we don't need to change to fit the matchup. But let's see who they match up with in the first round.
First of all, can't ignore what they've done during this regular season. They've played absolutely great basketball. They've played it their way, up-tempo. They shoot a lot of three-point shots. And Shai Gilgeous has proven himself to be one of the top five players in this league right now. So he is establishing himself as someone who probably could win a series for you. Now, with that being said, we know that playoff basketball slows down a little bit. And when it becomes more physical and size really starts to matter in those matchups, that's where I have concern. And that's what last night's game just reaffirmed for me, because I saw this earlier in the season with this Oklahoma City team. So matchups are going to be huge like they always are. But if you're playing Oklahoma City, you're going to try to slow the game down a little bit, and you're going to try to beat him up on the interior and then throw everything you can at Shai and take your chances that you can go ahead and beat him.
Yeah, this is a team that has the second worst percentage in rebounding, so they will have to address that. And it's going to be very hard to slow Shai Gilgeous-Alexander down. We'll actually get
his
the answers
mom was
to that.
Exactly. Sprinter.
Correct. Right. Thank you. Exactly. We'll actually get the answers to how can you do that. I don't think it's possible, because our own Malika Andrews has a conversation with SGA that will air Thursday 3 Eastern right here on ESPN. Now, still to come on NBA
Today. The Thunder aren't the only team on notice. The T-Wolves, are they showing some cracks in the foundation? Will they fumble the one overall seed in the West? Plus, 80% of the Knicks starting lineup is unfortunately on the injury report, but help is on the way. Is Ramona forecasting orange and blue skies in the near future? And the Bucks, they absolutely stunned the Clippers last night. Our own Tim Legler on how Milwaukee fixed their biggest weakness. Next, right here on NBA Today.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
No, any event we don't.
NBA Today is presented by Intuit Credit Karma. Everything you need to outsmart the system and reach your financial goals.
Welcome back to NBA Today. Ramona, is it getting hot in here? I mean, should we page Nelly in the building? Well, it's time for What's Burning, where we run through the hottest topics in the league. So let's start off with Philly. We're officially a month from Embiid's knee surgery. What can you tell us about his recovery right now?
Well, he's been on the court doing a few things, but I don't think he's anywhere close to coming back. I expect more of an official update when they get back home after this game in Brooklyn tonight. But the sense with the Sixers is they just got to get the wins where they can get them when they have teams coming in that are under 500. Pick up those wins, stay out of the play-in tournament, give the big fella a chance to come back and do something when he finally gets back.
Yeah, health is becoming the biggest story in the Eastern Conference. Donovan Mitchell, the Knicks, the Sixers. Some of these teams got to get healthy or else it's going to be Celtics, Bucks, and everybody else.
What about the West, though? Now to the Sacramento Kings, where they blew a 22-point lead to the Bulls at home last night. They've been, though, 5-5 in their last 10, but they have notched wins lately against the T-Wolves, Clippers, and Denver twice. Ramona, where do the Kings currently stand?
Well, look, they're now in the seventh spot in the Western Conference, and this is a team that, you know, they're beating the top opponents, but they're losing to sub 500 opponents. Last night was just Sabonis fouling out, unforced errors. They had a team meeting before that Minnesota game. Keegan Murray spoke up. It looked like they were turning things around, and then that was a brutal loss there. Now they're actually in the play-in tournament if things were to end today.
And that's okay. The Kings are still trending up in the big, big, big picture. They were never going to vault up from last season so high. This is fine, but they're not playing very well.
And Ramona, the Knicks, they're still banged up here, especially with Brunson going down on Sunday night. What's burning in New York City?
Well, I think the sense with the Knicks is they're going to get their players back eventually. They avoided a serious injury, Jalen Brunson, despite how that looked. But the new guys that they acquired at the trade deadline, they were all the talk of the league. They're playing good roles here, but they haven't had time to acclimate and learn how to get into that identity the Knicks established before they traded with him. It's not just about getting those players that are injured back healthy, but getting them acclimated so they can get some kind of rhythm with their new acquisitions at the trade deadline before the playoffs start.
So the Knicks are feeling a little bit of heat. The Knicks have four likely starters on their injury report. Brunson is questionable tonight against the Hawks with his knee contusion, while Randall, Anunoby, and Mitchell Robinson remain out. So who better to talk about the Knicks than former Knicks GM Scott Perino? Scott, when you look at the Knicks and you see the situation with them, with a long list of injuries, what should be their priority in their final 21 games?
Well, everybody, the obvious is the health, but you got to get them back sooner rather than later. And here's why I say that. You know, just to start this season, Julius Randle had missed all of the offseason with ankle surgery. And we saw how long it took him to get back acclimated to start the season. There were calls for him to be traded because he started off so slowly. Same thing happened last year in New York. He gets injured the last five games of the regular season after having a fantastic regular season and struggles in the playoffs because he never could get his rhythm back.
Exactly.
And so that is going to be key here for the Knicks that he gets back to get that. I think Anunoby, even though he's a newer player, because of the role he plays, he'll be able to assimilate himself a little bit quicker. Mitchell Robinson, same thing. Even though he's been out the entire year, it feels like. But they're going to need him in the playoffs because he can really dominate a series on the interior with his rebounding and shot blocking. And then if they have a minimum of, I'd say, 10 games going into the playoffs in the regular season of playing together, now that allows the new acquisitions like Burks and Bogdanovich to go ahead and figure out how they're going to fit in. And then Tibbs has got to figure everything out in terms of the minutes.
Yeah, so, Zach, if they do get that rhythm in 10 games or so leading into the playoffs, hopefully not the play-in, how important is getting home court?
The if qualifier is everything right now for the Knicks. And it's such a bummer, and it's also a reminder how fragile all of this is. Because when they got Anunoby and they started going scorched earth on everybody around the league, that was a real thing. They had found something. They had found something real and something special. Physical, nasty, shooting, defense all over the place. They had everything they needed, and they ran roughshod over everybody. And like that, they're struggling just to stay out of the play-in tournament. That race for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, it's five teams for three spots. And right now, the Knicks are just about clinging to a top six seed for dear life when they should have been about getting healthy and pushing Boston, pushing Milwaukee. So fingers crossed they can get healthy and get that runway of games, because right now it's just about, you know, you mentioned home court. I mean, I don't even think they can think about that. They just got to win like the Sixers, like Ramona said about the Sixers. Just scrounge out every win they can get to stay in the top six. And boy, it didn't look like that was going to be the conversation we were going to be having in January, where they damn near went undefeated and just killed everybody.
I mean, Anunoby makes everything easier for people defensively. Jalen Brunson makes everything easier for people offensively. But you have to get on the court in order to start to form an identity, especially when you traded for like half the Detroit Pistons at the trade deadline.
And you bring up one final point. You got to get in game condition again. You know, let's talk about that.
If they're back by the end of the month, is that a week?
Yeah,
playing 3 weeks?
Like, playing devil's advocate, people say that, hey, if they were all healthy, they might approach the playoffs tired. Now, if they're able to be healthy, maybe they'll have a better
force
case
rest.
Scenario.
Okay.
I know force rest, but I don't think any New Yorker
Director
wants to hear about that.
Okay.
Director of Sunshine right here. I know that they're currently fourth in the East, but what about the best-in-class Celtics, right? Because our star-studded NBA Saturday primetime game on ABC and ESPN app, it's going to be a great one between Jason Tatum and the Celtics and KD and the Suns. Our coverage tips with NBA Countdown at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. Coming up on NBA Today, did a fourth quarter collapse expose the real LA Clippers, or do we still believe that they can win the West? I'm Sunshine always. And the Thunder and the Wolves have battled for the top of the West for 3 months. Our playoff predictor forecasts who will take the conference's top spot. Plus, KD versus Jokic tonight. I will tell you how both stars are at the top of their game, but very different. Different ways. NBA Today with Chiney. We'll be right back after the break.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network. all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
No, any event we don't.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by Intuit Credit Karma.
Let's check in on Milwaukee. No Giannis, no problem. It was Dame time in Milwaukee last night. Giannis Antetokounmpo, though, tried to go in warm-ups but is out battling left Achilles tendonitis. Doc Rivers said Giannis has been dealing with this issue for the past few games, so he did not play. But picking it up in the fourth quarter, I mean, Bobby Portis showed up big and the crowd loved it.
Yeah, oh, he's the emotional leader of this Bucks team. I love to see that. Bobby Portis. Milwaukee just loves this guy.
And I think L.A. kind of likes the version that they're getting of James Harden. Harden had 29 points and 8 assists. This was going back and forth. But watch that. Beautiful Euro step and one, son. The Bucks trail 87-84 after Dame's free throw. Now, later in the fourth, Patrick Beverley for three. Bev had 12 points, 9 rebounds.
Oh, he's extremely tough, physical, Doc Rivers kind of player. Boy, he's going to make this team a tough out in the playoffs.
Absolutely. But also, who else will make this a tough out? One, Dame Lillard, who had 41
points.
Where is
he shooting from?
That's ridiculous. From the parking lot?
come
on, guys. Now, next possession for Milwaukee right here. Portis knocks down the jumper, and Giannis loves it with the stank face a little bit. Bucks up 105-100, and another floater here for Big Bucket Bobby. Is that the new nickname?
I guess so.
Milwaukee still leads by 7, and then Beverly finds Portis for the corner three. Portis had 28 points, 16 rebounds as the Bucks win 113-106. Now, the Bucks have won 6 straight games out of All-Star break behind, get this, having the league's third best offense and best defense during this time.
Wait, say that again?
Third best offense and best defense
best
during
defense?
This time post-All-Star. Yes.
Best defense.
And by the way, Ramona,
all year.
Yeah. By the way, Ramona, this includes wins over top West teams in the Timberwolves and the Clippers. And Tim Legler has more on how the Bucks have been able to turn around their defense.
Well, Shanae, you know, I've coached a lot of basketball in my life, and one of my favorite play sets defensively was named Play Harder. It's sometimes really that simple, and I've seen that out of the Bucks as they're improving their defensive numbers right now. And also their schemes have been good. The 2-3 zone they ployed last night really affected the Clippers. Let's talk about both things and why the Bucks were able to get this win. So the Play Harder component, and I've seen some of this during this winning streak, starts right here. Damian Lillard turns the basketball over, and if you can't really see where he is, just take a look. This is Damian Lillard here. He is completely trailing the action. And you can see the Clippers clearly have numbers. You got 4 guys up the court with a surge and a fast break and a lot of talent running this break with Lillard that far behind the play. As the Clippers come up, great ball reversal. Stop it right here. You're going to see Amir Coffey run to this corner. And look at the space that he has when James Harden makes this pass to the corner. But Damian Lillard never quit on the play. Look at the ground he covers to force him to run off the three-point line first. And then he counts on getting help on the back line. That's exactly what he gets right here. Gallinari comes over to stop dribble penetration. 3 players on the weak side zone up, waiting on that next pass to come out, which it does. And I want you to look at Malik Beasley. Come out there, get not only a closeout, but get his hand in the passing lane that leads directly to offense. Now, this is the second part of what I talked about improving defensively. Scheme and communication. They went to this zone primarily the entire second half, and it really affected the Clippers because they could not get into their ball screen or isolation game. And one of the big reasons, they just didn't occupy this area of the floor offensively, which is critical against the zone. They never really did it. Paul George starts there, but then slips away. When Kawhi Leonard catches this basketball, this would have been a great opportunity right here for Paul George to flash middle, receive the basketball from the wing, and then force on the back line a reaction from one of these two players, which would have meant a wide open three-pointer in one of these corners. But because the ball didn't get delivered there, and instead it was dribble penetration, the Bucks are able to stay in their 2-3 zone and match up. Now, Kawhi finally does flash middle, but watch the reaction. Great one here on a part of Brook Lopez. He has to come all the way up from the back line to play him one-on-one, tries to turn the corner, go up over one of the best shot blockers in the league, gets a piece, deters Kawhi Leonard right at the rim. And this was during that stage in the game when the momentum was changing and the Milwaukee Bucks were taking control. I thought their defense was exceptional in this game, and it has been during the winning streak. Shanae, let's see if they can keep it going forward.
Thanks, Tim, for stopping by and breaking it all down. And speaking of which, the defense has absolutely taken major strides since Doc Rivers' arrival, but so has Dame Lillard. Take a listen to Dame on how Doc has helped him open up his game.
For significant part of the year was just trying to find my way, you know, trying to find my spaces where I would have opportunity. And, you know, I just think because I played against Doc so many times in the West, and he had to scout against me. So when he came in, he was just like, you guys don't run this. You guys don't run that. Like, this is stuff we hated to guard against you. And he just started to slowly put some of those actions in.
And slowly we're starting to see that it has officially become Dame time in Milwaukee. And shout out to Barry Baum of the Bucks, because he gifted our amazing producer, Hillary, this nice little box of Dame time watch. I'm going to put it on, and I might also seal it. You can see the Dame time. There we go. I'll put it on.
Apple Watch.
It's even better because it's clutch. It always delivers in moments of need. Now, Scott, yes. What difference have you seen from Dame since All-Star break?
Well, I see the Dame that I used to watch for the last decade.
Pun intended.
Exactly. In Portland. And it's not just the three-point shooting. We know he's terrific at that. But the way he got downhill and attacked the rim with such force, I thought that set the entire tone for not only this game, but a number of the games since All-Star break. And you can feel like he's playing free and much more liberated right now. So I'm really impressed with what Dame is doing right now.
Well, I mean, Doc Rivers has this mantra, they got to go from good to great, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't even know that they were good on defense, okay?
Right.
And Tim gave a great breakdown of, like, what they did with their zone. And I know how you guys talk about zone. Like, you go to zone because you can't really guard them with man, right? Yeah. But that zone was so effective because they were trying harder, because you did see Dame trying to close out. Their effort was there. Yeah. And so much of what the issue that they had before was just team effort. Yeah. Like, everybody buying into what they're doing, finding roles. And I think that's why they went and got Doc Rivers, because he understands, like, you got to put guys in positions to succeed. Yeah. He's seen Dame at his best. He's putting them there. Last night, he was the only one of the big three out there. Chris Middleton's still been out. Giannis was out with the Achilles injury, and so it's just Dame. He's used to that in Portland. Yeah. Just him, right?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I really liked last night what Doc did. I thought this was a win that's going to carry a lot of momentum for this team. Whenever you can win a game as a coach without two of your top three players like did, it's going to instill a lot of confidence in the entire roster and in you as a coach.
Yep.
But they will need to sustain that. So, Zach, do you believe that the Bucks have the right momentum? Do you think that they've turned a corner here?
Ooh, I think it's getting interesting. I think it's getting a little spicy. They're trending upward like this. Dame is trending upward like this. I thought last night was as explosive and decisive going to the basket as he has looked all season from start to finish on any game. And look, the defense has gotten better and sturdier. This is not going to be a great defensive team, but if it's good enough, when they get healthy, their offense is going to be dynamite. And that is the kind of formula where they have enough to really challenge Boston in the East. And boy, do we need someone to challenge, step up and challenge Boston in the East, because they're lapping the field right now. But this team, fully healthy, fully optimized, is very, very dangerous. And that's why, to me, there is no bigger wild card right now in the East than how Chris Middleton comes back from that ankle injury and whether he can stay healthy, stay on the court, and in the playoffs, play 30-plus minutes every game of high-level basketball. Because if they run into Boston or a healthy Knicks team or a healthy Embiid, that's what they're going to need to get by.
Yeah, those are some, you know, question marks, though, on the other side of the ball, because we're talking about a game in which they played the Clippers, right? And these two teams are clearly heading into opposite directions, with the Bucks having won 6 straight games out of the break, and then the Clippers having lost 6 of their last 11 games. So when you pair them side by side, I think we're shocked here on the West Coast. So these are two conference contenders, but the Clippers have, it seems like, run out of steam over the last few weeks. So, Zach, how concerned are you on the other side of the ball with LA's recent slide?
I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, because you can't go 27-5 or whatever it was over that long of a stretch without being an elite, elite team. And I do think they've hit a little bit of malaise, a little bit of dog days, all-star post-trade deadline malaise. We've proven what we can do, but the juice isn't there right now. They do miss Russ in that sense, because if you need a jolt of energy, for better or worse, Russ is going to bring that off the bench and jolt you into gear. And you do feel his absence. I would like to see them get back to running their offense with a little more verve, a little more speed. Right now, like Ty Lue likes to say, they're just walking around on offense. They've lost some steam. And look, this is a veteran team. a lot of guys who have done a lot of things in the playoffs on this team. They've already proven what they can do. They know what they have to do. But right now, they're settled into that four seed. And maybe they don't care, but that looks like they're gonna where they're going to be. And they need to get back into rhythm before the playoffs start, not during the playoffs.
And, Zach, you said a lot of these guys on the Clippers have accomplishments in their career, but some of them are still seeking championships. But it really feels like they need a feel-good win. And how about on Wednesday? Because our next NBA Wednesday doubleheader starts in H-Town. I did it to myself with the Rockets hosting Kawhi and the Clippers at 7:30 Eastern. Then Giannis and the Bucks begin a four-game West Coast swing against Steph and the Warriors. Our coverage tips with NBA Countdown at 7 on ESPN and the app. Now, the battle for the one spot in the West is heating up. But the more important question might be, who needs to avoid LeBron and Steph in the first round? That's next right here on NBA Today.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No, any event we don't.
You're watching NBA Today, presented by Intuit Credit Karma.
What was Big Sean's song? I was raised by the Wolves. They hosted the Blazers last night in Minnesota. Now, Anthony Edwards, though, was running out to the court late to tip off, and he would actually have to sub in Ramona.
I mean, Richard Jefferson does that every time on the show, but I think he does it on purpose to mess with us.
Yeah.
This was like somebody just even tap him earlier and be like, hey, game on.
But it didn't slow him down. Okay, the T-Wolves, 55-48 going into halftime. Now let's go to the third quarter where Rudy Gobert, whoa, throws down the dunk. And one, son, T-Wolves up after the free throw, and then the final seconds of the third, T-Wolves up again. Just beautiful basketball, Scott.
Oh, it's great basketball. You love to see a break when they're sharing the basketball that way and finishing.
Correct. Under 6 minutes left, Trailblazers down 105-90. Anthony Simons, my goodness, stifles the tower.
Well, one of the posters of the year.
He thought better of it.
That might be poster of the year.
Oh, it's a nominee. It's definitely a nominee. Edwards right there drives and makes the layup. Edwards finishes with 13 points, and the T-Wolves go on to win 119-114. Now, the T-Wolves have had at least a share of the best record in the West for 94 days this season as they seek just their second number one seed in franchise history. So I would like to run through the Wild Wild West, and starting at the top here, let's fire up the official playoff predictor. The top three seeds are only separated by a half game. So Zach, what stands out to you in the race to the top?
How the three teams at the top have kind of separated themselves from the Clippers now, and the Clippers are in danger of kind of nestling in to that four seed. But that race for number one is very, very even. Minnesota still plays Denver three more times, and we're going to learn about who really wants home court advantage. Remember how critical it was for Denver last year on their way to the title. This is one of the more interesting subplots because that top seed is there for the taking. But of course, in the era of the play-in, it's hard to know who the matchups are going to be and who you're going to play. You may end up facing a team down there that you maybe don't want to face so much.
Scott, who do you think will take the number one at the regular season?
I think the Denver Nuggets are going to do it. They're starting to play the kind of basketball that led them to the championship last year. And they've got the best playing basketball right now. So I'm leaning towards them. They're playing the best at the right time of the season.
That is true. And if you did see our predictor, they actually have the second easiest remaining strength of schedule. So the Denver Nuggets are favorites, and, you know, they know how to get there. But Ramona, who do you think will finish number one overall?
So after the All-Star break, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope recently told everybody that Nikola Jokic sent a text message to the whole group and said, guys, it's time to go. Now, he didn't say exactly what was in the text message because it's always a mystery. That it fired everybody up. When have you seen Jokic send a group text like that? We never hear about stuff like that. I think he's decided it's go time. We for a long time, we wondered if they cared where they finished in the standings. It looks like they care, and I think Denver gets that.
They do care, but you guys, my prediction early on was the Clippers, and I actually have a little validation here because if I slide over, first, let's look at the Clippers. The Clippers have the 11th easiest remaining. Yes, they did just come off of a loss, but as I slide over to the projections, y'all, look at what we project winning the title. 10.1% for the Los Angeles Clippers overall in our playoff predictor. I know that's going to shock a lot of people, except Malika and I, who was like, we're standing pat. Like, we feel like the Clippers are finally going to make it to the Western Conference Finals.
I mean, the Nuggets would like a word.
They would definitely like a word, but don't worry. I'm saying it's Nuggets, case. Clippers, look, in the Western Finals.
I understand you going after the Clippers, though. They're supremely talented.
Yes. So okay, we talked about the top of the top. How about we go, why don't we go to the bottom of the standings? 5 through 10 are all separated by only 3.5 games. So, Scott, who do you think finishes 5th and 6th and completely avoids the play-in entirely?
Well, I struggle with this one, but right now I'm going to go with the Sacramento Kings and the Dallas Mavericks, mainly because of the guard play.
Let's see what the scenario looks like. The Kings moving up to 5, maybe?
I am partial to guard play, and I think late in the season, when you got guards who can play downhill, like Sacramento has De'Aaron Fox, and then, you know, Luka Doncic is having an MVP-caliber season, along with Kyrie Irving there, I just like guard play being dominant down the stretch, so that's why I went with those two.
I mean, the Phoenix Suns are a very talented team. If you'd have told us the beginning of the year they'd be in the play-in tournament, none of us would have believed you.
Ooh.
But Devin Booker, with that injury right now, even whether it's a week, 10 days, whatever it is, they cannot afford to lose him for any length of time because they have one of the toughest schedules.
I mean, not one of. The playoff predictors literally telling us right here they have the toughest remaining schedule in the NBA. That is quite wild. Zach, what do you think about the bottom?
Well, look, the Phoenix, let's not mince words. If the Suns are in the play-in, this is a potential disaster scenario for Phoenix, who went all in to build this team and just hasn't seen it together. When they've been together, they've been really good.
Yeah.
But once you're in the play-in, you are super vulnerable to not even making the playoffs or getting a matchup where it's just too hard to win 2 and 3 rounds. We haven't talked about the Pelicans, and I want to bring up those odds again because I think I saw the Pelicans with like a 94% chance of making the playoffs. Very quietly, they have a manageable schedule. They're nicely in 5th right now, and those playoff odds really like them snagging a top 6 seed. The Pelicans, if they manage to do that, and most systems think they have a really good chance to do it, what a major victory it would be for them, despite injuries here and there to their big three. We haven't seen them that much together. That would be a nice accomplishment for them, and they're in a good position to do it. And by the way, a very tricky team to match up with for anybody because of how unusual Zion is.
Yeah, Zion being able to be point forward, but also be able to play back to the basket, and then their length on the perimeter. They are one of my dark horses in the West. Now, we talked about the numbers. How about the plays? Because sticking in the West here, let's check out today's smart play brought to you by Intuit Credit Karma. Now, they may be falling out of the playoff race, but that doesn't mean these plays can't still happen. I mean, look at this, Ramona. Sexton said the play here was on purpose. Do you believe him?
I actually do. Look at how good this touch pass is. When it goes, look, that is a touch pass. Like, Keontae George, like that, he realized he couldn't dunk it, saw Sexton trailing the play. I buy that.
I didn't buy it at first, but now upon review, I do buy it. But this dunk post-game buzzer between the legs, that was some showtime.
Yes, it was.
Oh, that was clean. Now coming up on NBA Today, KD and Jokic face off tonight, which got us thinking about greatness. If Jokic wins another title, will his career be more impressive than Durant's?
Ow.
NBA Today is presented by Intuit Credit Karma. Everything you need to outsmart the system and reach your financial goals.
Tonight on SportsCenter at 6 Eastern, what's next for Saquon Barkley and the other star running backs set to hit free agency as the franchise tag deadline passes? Plus, how the NFL Combine is shaking up our experts' latest mock draft. And we're live with the Celtics as the NBA's hottest team looks to go for 12 wins in a row tonight. SportsCenter, 6 Eastern on ESPN.
So we have a battle of former MVPs, Kevin Durant and Nikola Jokic, tonight in Denver. It's their second meeting of the season. Jokic took the first back in December. Now Devin Booker is out with an ankle sprain, so the scoring load will once again be on KD's shoulders. Now, what I love about this matchup is that we have 2 7-footers who are the best at what they do in completely different ways. I mean, KD is the master of the mid-range, and Jokic, he's the professor who has a PhD in passing, and I'll show you exactly on the court. KD versus Jokic, he gets to his spot, elevates after a switch and going under the screen, and he knocks it down. He has the most mid-range points per game in the NBA. Now, on the other side, we're talking about the professor in passing. Right here, that's an ice screen. Usually people shoot. Instead, he attracts the entire defense. No one in the NBA has more assists, that's a forward or a center, than Nikola Jokic. So it's very, very impressive, those 2 7-footers doing it differently. Now, the Suns will be without Devin Booker tonight and are 8.5-point underdogs against the defending champs. So odds makers really believe that Phoenix is heading towards their third straight loss. Now, Zach, what is so important to you about the Phoenix Suns, especially in their game tonight? This has to be a statement one.
Every game is urgent for the Suns. This team went all in, invested everything they had, and falling into the play-in would risk a disaster scenario for the playoffs. It's a huge, huge game. Every game's a huge game. If you beat the Nuggets, it's almost like a double win. Yep. It's an unexpected win. So the pressure is on Phoenix in every single game down the stretch of the season.
Yeah, we all know that Phoenix has truly fallen short a little bit of expectations so far this season. But an interesting debate that came up in our newsroom before the show was like the legacies of Jokic and KD, especially as we see in this matchup. And here's actually a look at their current resumes for these two Hall of Famers. Jokic has the 2-1 edge in MVPs and could be adding another to his case after this season. Now, KD, though, has 2-1 titles advantage and is 9th on the all-time scoring list. So, Scott, if the Nuggets are able to do what no team has done since KD's Warriors and win back-to-back titles, would Jokic surpass Durant in your estimation for career? I know that's a tough question, but, like, when you stack it up head-to-head, it's interesting.
It's very interesting, but I'm a little partial to KD. Look, I was part of the front office that drafted this young man 17 years ago in Seattle. He's been one of the most lethal scorers that we've seen in this game. And like you say, he's 2-time NBA champion. He is 10-time All-NBA. I mean, he has just done it for so long. Now, Jokic is creeping up on him, and I have to give him that. And so, but right now, today, I still got to give the slight edge, and it may be a little biased, but to my man KD, because 17 years and doing this so consistently, I marvel at that. And
I'm with you there, and some of it is just age. I mean,
yes.
Kevin Durant's 35. Jokic just turned 29, so he's got 6 years on him there. But I think it's also both of these guys are one of one. I can't think of a comp for either of them.
Yeah, right.
And they've changed, and both of them have changed the game in the way that they've played it, in the way that people had to react to them. When Kevin Durant joined the Warriors, the whole league had to change to try to match up with him. I think the whole league has had to change to try to match up with the Denver Nuggets, especially if they get it going again this year, get back to the finals, maybe win again. Have we ever seen a big man who can pass like this?
Thank you.
Ever seen a big man who can score the way that Jokic? There's a few, maybe Sabonis.
Arvidas Sabonis was the closest one, but we saw the injured version once he got
the one thing I will say about both of them, though, and I think it's great, they're both just basketball junkies. They just love
love
it. You can talk about Jokic and his horse racing, whatever. They are basketball savants.
Tremendous point, Ramona. Yeah. And Kevin Durant, I mean, I think he's going to be playing basketball. If he's not in the NBA at 50 years old, he'll be playing in somebody's league. He'll be playing basketball somewhere.
That is true. And, you know, for me, I see Kevin Durant as one of the greatest scorers of all time. I know a lot of not too long ago, people were saying, put me in the greatest of all time conversation. I know that by the time Jokic is done, we'll have that same mandate. Put me in the greatest of all time conversation.
Yes.
But still, maybe because I'm a millennial, but I love what KD has done with his game. I think the narrative has affected how people perceive him to some degree.
Yes.
But these two guys are winning in completely different ways. You got to love it. You got to love it. So Malika Andrews, she will be back in studio tomorrow. I'm really excited to see her interview with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah. That will be coming.
I want to see what he wears.
More important, correct. Maybe she can borrow the glasses or something.
Awesome.
Who's going to be back?